the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
It's that time on a Saturday where you call us and whatever you want to share, you do it to Hugh Keevans, Cammy Bell and Gordon DL. I love the immediacy of it. I like the notion. We're proud of it that you come out of a football game and you think, I just need to phone that lot and tell them what I witnessed today. St Mirren fans, I want to know how much trouble you think you're in, or if you're still feeling that it will be a case of looking up come the end of the season. You might have gripes about the red card, you might not, so give us a call. Motherwell fans, it's just another week where it's just so fuss-free. You score two, you concede none, and you close in on Celtic, who play tomorrow. In amongst that, if we're going to link today's football to the transfer window, it's a double again for Tawanda Maswanisi. Will he still be a Motherwell player come Monday night? If it's not, is it Glasgow, either side of it, that he'd be in demand? You tell us. Same number, no matter what is on your mind. We can preview tomorrow's games, whatever you like. There's loads to get through, Hugh Keevans.
St Mirren's become a real worry. They started the day 5 points above Kilmarnock. It's now down to 3 points. They are in a terrible run of form. They don't score goals, and if you don't score, as we all know, you don't win matches. So they're in real bother. Aberdeen Football Club, the once famous Aberdeen Football Club, in absolute turmoil. Roger Hanna saying not only do they need a new manager, they need new players. That's an awful result for them. They have Celtic midweek. They have no manager. And their identity is non-existent now as Aberdeen Football Club. Big, big trouble for them.
Yeah, they had a great opportunity today to put a little bit of pressure on Falkirk, because I think most people outside Falkirk would fancy Celtic at home tomorrow. But all credit to Kilmarnock. Neil McCann has been saying, look, the result's coming, and the result came today. Kilmarnock fans, who were so, so angry last week, will be a lot more pleased tonight. They'll enjoy their Saturday night for once for a long, long time. You look at Livingston, for me, they cannot, they don't even look like they're going to win now. And that's a problem. Even at home, people used to say it's a hard place to go. No, it's not. Motherwell went there, schooled them today. They're in real trouble. Look forward to a game tonight.
Yeah, and lots to get through tonight and tomorrow, and then on to the transfer window closing on Monday. Ewan is a St Mirren fan. What did you witness today, Ewan?
I wasn't at the game myself, but it's just throughout the season, I'm a season ticket holder, and it's just like, it's just abysmal. It's so one dimensional. There's nothing can change. It's like we've got the game plan of the, you know, the kind of counter attacking football, sit back, but as soon as that doesn't go to plan, there's nothing else. It's just flat. And since the cup, it's again, there's been nothing on offer. There's no entertainment with it.
How worried are you, or do you still see yourself as being better than the teams below you, and therefore the season will just peter out, or do you have those worries that it's a relegation battle?
I think Livy will go down. I'm not concerned about Livy, but I think it's all to play for in between. But I think we might be in a slightly better place than Killy, but it's just, the issue is we're not getting like these nitty gritty results out, and that's it. It just needs to improve. I don't care, as long as we're getting points on the board, I don't care how we win. That's it.
Depends how much of a game changer Killy's result today is. The arithmetic tells you that it's a stupid question I've asked, not for the first time. How can you not lump St Mirren in with Killy now after today?
You know, St Mirren are 3 points better off than Killy, 3 points worse off than Dundee. They're caught there in that no man's land. But Ewan's right. There's been, since the cup final against Celtic, there's been a total collapse. And the lack of goals has to be a severe worry. Ewan talks about one-dimensional football. I find it hard to understand, because they had three top six finishes under Stephen Robinson, mm-hmm. and now they're fighting, and I mean fighting, to stay in the division.
Their style has really, really worked, Cammy. They've been so good at it. So is it that when it's a club like St Mirren and they're performing the way they have, inevitably it just can't last forever? Is there a bit of that, or is there a stylistic thing that once it stops becoming effective? Because I know St Mirren fans, Stephen Robinson, his coaches, the players, everybody was very offended earlier in the season, I think, when when people spoke about the style, and they took great delight in talking about how it worked against Motherwell in the semi, and they deserved to brag about that on that day. But in the league, it isn't working the same anymore.
Yeah, listen, I've absolutely no problem with St Mirren's style, because it's been successful, and they've got the players to play that style. So ultimately, you understand why Stephen Robinson sets them up that way. Where St Mirren are failing at the moment is a lot of players are underperforming, and as a team, they're low in confidence. The group, they're very low at this moment in time, so it's difficult to turn that around. Would they be able to change style at this time of the season? Probably not. They need to tweak it. They need to get a result, because ultimately, as I say, I think the confidence within the group will be really low. But they do need to worry about Kilmarnock. Kilmarnock have brought in three signings, and certainly when you look at Finlay Curtis, I think he'll be a very successful signing for Kilmarnock. They've got that big result today. They kept a clean sheet, because that's been Kilmarnock's problem this season. So I think St Mirren need to be a little bit worried about them, but I still feel as if they've got players that they can turn this around, but they need to do it quickly. They can't just keep going on the road that they're on at the moment.
Have you seen the red card back? You and the fans were booing off the referee. Is there any hard feelings there? Or
I've not seen the red card, no. But at the end of the day, it's not even about a game like today. For obviously, we need to get a result against Dundee. But you go back to the Hearts game, when we were up a man for most of the game, and we didn't. I don't think we offered anything. Again, that goes back to what I'm saying about the one-dimensional. We're a man up for most of the game, and we can't even create decent chances. And obviously, that was against Hearts, who are the main team. But regardless, there's no change. It's sticking to that system and then continuously going, nah, we'll just continue. Even if there's no, oh, we should bring on an extra winger or bring an extra attacker, go to a back four, go and change it from the back 3/5, put more people in the midfield, whatever. It's just a case of we stick to what we play and it's not working.
Can you see St Mirren dragged? I mean, are they in already? Are we past that stage?
Yeah, I think they're, no doubt about that. It just shows you how football changes. We sat there and witnessed the St Mirren manager, players, the fans, all, you know, with the joy of winning that cup, and deservedly so. I thought they were brilliant on the day. You would never have sat there and thought, oh, they could be in a relegation fight. You look at their record, they're not winning games, they're not playing particularly well, they're not scoring goals. They are bang in trouble just now for the playoffs, no doubt about it.
But yet, Ewan, you'd take 10th place in a cup win in a season, would you not?
Yeah, I think the main thing is getting the silverware was one thing, but I think going for the top six, I'd like, obviously we wouldn't have liked to see that again, but I think the silverware makes up for it, as long as we, I think we could still potentially, if we pick up form, best of the rest, but it's tough to look at now.
Yeah, there's no doubt, you're not taking a top six finish over a cup. You know, we've praised St Mirren for it, and they get European qualification, yeah, but teams like that, you want to win silverware.
No, 100%.
But obviously, you then have the reality of it. I get what Ewan means. So for the next few months, what, even if you can secure safety, what, you know, it maybe just kind of peters out a bit.
Yeah, listen, I think they absolutely take the cup win in a season. But again, I think what Ewan's saying is if they can finish 7th or 8th, then it makes it more acceptable rather than being in this sort of relegation battle that they're in at the moment. So there's no getting away from it. The cup win's massive because it's a memory for a lifetime for a lot of people, and they've been able to experience that as a St Mirren fan. So they're never going to be able to take that away. They'll just want their team to kick on and get away from this relegation trouble that's there at the moment, because that puts uncertainty about the club, where they go next season if they're in a relegation battle.
Well, what's maybe changed things, because for a long time the bottom two just kept on losing, but Kilmarnock not only changed that today, they changed it emphatically. Simon is a Kilmarnock fan. Exactly a week ago, Simon, we had, by our standards, a lot of Killy fans phoning in furious with what was happening. What a turnaround.
Yeah, hi to Gordon, Hugh and Legend. Hope you're all doing very well.
Come on, Simon.
Like that, Simon. Thanks, Simon.
I'm in a good mood and throwing out compliments. So the start of the Motherwell game last week, so, you know, we started really well. I think most of the pundits and Andy in the studio on Monday said the same thing. The goal, just after we got our goal disallowed, things just petered out and it seems like our heads dropped. And when Motherwell scored, we just lost the plot. And I think that was the mental fragility that, you know, that kind of losing run brings. But today we started off really well again. Intensity was great. We're getting the ball down in the depth. And the difference is we got not only one, but we got two goals right at the start at a really crucial time. And that gave it to us confidence. And some of the football we're playing today, I think, you know, Aberdeen fans would argue that if that had been 6-0, I don't think any Aberdeen fans would be complaining. We're completely dominant performance. And hopefully that's the monkey off the back now. As I said earlier, it's been a long time since we've enjoyed a Saturday night. 119 days, to be precise. So, yeah, I'll be enjoying it tonight.
And in this, because football can do this, Simon, in the space of, and I know we're like the knee-jerk capital of the world either way, but in one afternoon, has this changed your thoughts on the likelihood that you escape the bottom two?
I don't know about that yet. I think we've still got some signings we need to make. I think the three signings yesterday were really positive. Joe Cugill signed from Man United on a permanent deal. I think he came on and showed really good glimpses. Obviously, everyone talks about Finlay Curtis. I think he'll be an excellent signing. And the Moldovan / Irish lad was signed on the wings. He's got a bit of pedigree as well. So that's fixed the problem that Stuart Kettwell left us with, having no wide players. I still think we need a dominant centre-back. I thought our defenders were better today. The young boy, Ethan Shilty Brown, who's very on the verge of the Canada squad for the World Cup, and he's playing like it. He's just signed a new long-term deal as well. And he to play as well as he has recently in such a bad defence speaks volumes. But one thing I wanted to just bring up is that Max Stryek had open-heart surgery towards the end of November, and he was on the bench today. But that man is an absolute miracle, an absolute hero. And you're just delighted to see him back as well, and hopefully gets playing.
A bit of a superhuman effort,
Simon.
There can't be many Irish Moldovan guys kicking about.
Simon, random question, not to deflect from your great result today.
Yeah,
Aberdeen Football Club. You remember when they used to mean something? What were they like today?
They were flat from the start. I think the first 2 minutes they put the ball out of play twice. The passing was really off. They looked like a shadow of themselves. And we were a bit concerned because obviously, you know, they scored 6 goals last week, and with Kilmarnock's defence, you go into the game thinking a bit like, I'm not sure could they do damage. But yeah, they looked like they were a team who didn't have any real direction. And, you know, without tempting Marvin Bartley to come after me, I don't think Livingston really are the best example to go up against. But yeah, just today on Kilmarnock again, one final point. I think it was just, see if actually play with a ball on the deck as well and getting some crosses into the box. I think Tyrese John-Jules was fantastic today. Like, absolutely ragdolled the Aberdeen defenders. Great first touch to set off Anderson for his goal. He took his goal really, really well. I think one of the problems is we've not had that width in the team. And now we've got it. The boy Shoning Larson as well looks like a really good addition. Can play right or left back. I still think it's going to be difficult. But the St Mirren fan who was on before saying they're in a better position than Kilmarnock. In terms of points, maybe, but this has been one of the worst Kilmarnock teams in a long time. And St Mirren haven't beaten us in the league, lost at Rugby Park, and only managed a 0-0 when we had Chris Doolan. And we were in free fall at St Mirren Park like a month or so ago. So I still think we can catch St Mirren. I probably think we can still catch the two Dundee sides as well. But it's going to take us a few signings in the next few days. I hear that Alan Forrest might be one that could be leaving Hearts, and we are one of the teams in for him. I think that would be one of those signings that could change things. But if we continue to play the way we did today, then we've got every chance. But it's going to be a long time, and I think, you know, I really wish we weren't going to Ibrox on Wednesday night, to be honest with you, but, you know, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, that's the thing, because that's a tough fixture, and you can, there are no guarantees, but Cammy, with your Kilmarnock hat on, do you think today does have the potential to be a bit of a turning point?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a big moment for Neil McCann. And again, I think the signings play a part in that as well, because when the Kilmarnock fans see the signings that have came through the door, I think there's real belief there. I mentioned it before, Finlay Curtis, for me, I think is a fantastic player, so a really good signing. Simon mentions Alan Forrest. If Kilmarnock could get their hands on Alan Forrest, then that would be a brilliant sign as well, because he mentions that wide area is where it's hurt them. They've lost Danny Armstrong, they've lost Fraser Murray, Matty Kennedy's been out all season, so all these players have been taken away from Kilmarnock, and that's where their success was built over the last few years. So yeah, listen, I've got a little bit more hope for Kilmarnock going forward now.
Thank you, Simon. What about the rest of today's action, or Tawanda Maswanisi, or the transfer window, or tomorrow's games? It's a great time to call. We'll get you on next.
It's Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line 0141 951 1025.
Gordon DL is alongside Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell. And we're looking back on today's action. We're going to preview tomorrow. We've got the transfer window, so the guys are spinning a few plates. Let's see which plate John in Moss Park is most interested in. Take it away, John.
Hello, Gordon in the panel. Gordon DL will remember me for Thursday when I was on about signing Wasanisi.
Yeah.
If I have it, Celtic, if I have it awaiting to sign a player, if Rangers will go for him, then they'll try and put in for him. But I can't understand, Gordon panel, if he scored two more goals a day, that will obviously increase his price that Murrell will be looking for. I don't understand. We've got money. Whatever it costs, just go and buy him. I know what you were saying earlier on, that we've signed, spent $10 million on for two wingers. We're basically a dud. So even if it costs $10 million for this guy, we've already spent $10 million on Balakwisha and Tenekte, who are no use. So why just no buy? He's a proven goal scorer.
I think Celtic are entitled not to pay £10 million for Mascherini. They're entitled to run their business properly. But yes, they should be interested in Mascherini, John. But I get the distinct impression that Marta O'Neill looked at him 2 weeks ago at Fir Park and decided Mascherini was not for Celtic.
He's up to 18 for the season for club. He's got another one for country. That translates to 13 in the league, which makes him two ahead of Benjamin Negrin and Lauren Shankland as top scorers. He missed a bit being away at AFCON. Doesn't always play through the middle either. And John says, look, I never know exactly how this works. I don't know if you can add on loads because he gets a double against Livy. You know, is he worth that much more on Saturday night than he was on Saturday morning? I don't quite know. But surely got to be in demand.
Yeah, of course he is. I'm astonished that Celtic or Rangers haven't come in there and made a bid for him. At least test the water, see what he's got to cost you. Because he can play through the middle, he can get goals, he can play off the wide area. He's brilliant off of there as well. He's an all-round very good footballer. But unfortunately for Celtic, it doesn't matter if it's Mascherini or anybody. They've left it that late in the transfer window. They've got to pay the over the odds because people know they're desperate now. So whether it's a club that say, right, okay, well, even a loan, the loan fee will be sky high. The player, if he's coming in and getting bought, the fee will be a lot more. The player's wages will be a lot more. They've left themselves open.
For club and country, Cammy, he's got 7 goals in his last 6 games. So in terms of the timing to whip up a bit of hype around the January window, it could not have been better. He scored on the 29th of December for Zimbabwe, came straight back in the very next game, scored against St Mirren, and he scored every game since Hibs, County, Kilmarnock, and a double against Livy today.
Yeah, red hot form, and as you say, probably difficult for Motherwell. You obviously want him to continue that form because you're scoring goals that win you games of football, but again, you're in the January transfer window. But yeah, I'm with Daz. I'm amazed that nobody has came in and tried to take him away because his numbers are incredible. Again, he's played, I think, 21 games in the league and scored 13 goals. So the goal return's very, very good. Celtic, for me, should be looking at him, whether that's 4 or 5 million and testing the water. Motherwell might not even sell at that price. But again, I think I would be surprised if nobody does test the water between now and tomorrow.
But Celtic have looked at him. Martin O'Neill went there with Mark Fotheringham, went to Fir Park.
Also, I know that the world's a small place now because of analytics and Y-Scout and all the ways that you can watch players, but also one that doesn't take any watching, if that makes sense. Like, you would still go through your normal procedures. No, but I just mean he's under your nose. I think that's why everyone's maybe,
you know, there's
a bit stronger about
speculation
it.
Today about Celtic and an Armenian forward. This guy Mascherini is down the road from Celtic Park. I mean, and plays in this league and is the top goal scorer in this league. If they have looked at him and decided no, he's not for us, then fair enough. You know, Martin O'Neill must be allowed to manage, but it would be a surprising one if they had rejected him.
It looks rejected, but yeah, looks like it's not one they wanted to pursue yet. Gordon, I'm gonna have to do it and stick up. What about the excitement that might be around what he and Motherwell can achieve if he stays there for the end of the season?
Oh, listen, he must be looking forward to midweek already. He must be looking forward to the next game. He's he's a player. It's so much. He's got so much confidence. He knows he's banging in goals. He knows that teams will be sitting up and looking at him, whether they come in and decide to try and take him in this window. But I'm sure everyone concerned at Motherwell won't want to let him go, because this is a big, big season for Motherwell. They've got Aberdeen in the cup next week at Pittodrie. Okay, people say, oh, that'll be a difficult game. The way Motherwell are playing, clean sheets, scoring goals, Motherwell got up there as favourites for me. And it's been a long while since I've said that. So I think that Motherwell will be desperate to hold on, but they're in a great position, Gordon, because if a Celtic do come calling now, the fee's only going to go up.
It's inflated.
Exactly. Yes.
John, you, whether it's Masfenisi or anyone else, where are your confidence levels that Celtic can get some good business done in the next 2 days?
I would say about 30%. I keep going on about, Gordon will remember, Masfenisi and the goalkeeper, because I told him Schmeichel was done there again, right, and two goals. He never even moved for the two goals, but we're playing catch-up to win the league. This guy's proven goal scorer. He's proven it. I don't understand why they're not signing it. It's staring them right in the face.
This came up on, to the goalkeeper in the room, John, this came up on last night's show as well, Cammy. That there might be a debate to be had around Kasper Schmeichel, but if we're talking about 2 days to go, and we're talking about scrambling, and we're talking about Sean Maloney mentioning, was it as many as three? Was it three, over the next two days? Whether Kasper Schmeichel is playing well, it's hard to see that as a priority just now, isn't it? Just where everything is.
Listen, they're not looking at the goalkeeping department at this moment in time. Yes, I get the question marks over Kasper, and this season he's been a little bit inconsistent. But listen, he's had brilliant moments as well. Again, reflect back to the Falkirk game, probably got them the points there on that day. Big saves, big moments. Yes, I probably would think he could probably look at himself and think he could do better for the second goal on Thursday night. But it's certainly not a priority for Celtic. Celtic need a goal scorer in the building. If they want to win this title this season, they need a goal scorer in the building. And that's why I'm so surprised. Sorry to go back on Masfenisi, that again, his age, his profile, his goal scoring record, everything for me points to a good signing for Celtic. If they can get him doing that, Celtic, scoring the goals that he does in the league, scoring goals in Europe, his price goes double what they pay for him.
Thank you to John. What about Barry, who's in Coatbridge? How are you, Barry?
I'm all right, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you for asking. What's your take on all this, then?
I just think the board are acting as if it's some kind of magic show, that the players are just going to just turn up and that'll be it. But not it's like as if they're running it like a dog and pony show as well. Just the same. I mean, one player in on loan is scandalous.
Yeah, I mean, two loans earlier on in the window. Look, Sean Maloney did his best to stick up a bit for the board as well, Hugh. He said it's not all the board. He said we've got a job as well to talk to players and convince them that the footballing project is right. He said that, you know, some of that stuff's ready to go. Like I said earlier, that it looks like there is a willingness to spend and not just of loans, but none of this really matters. You've got, it's all about the outcome.
Yeah,
isn't it? You know, come the window, nobody cares what the circumstances were. It's just what you end up with.
I think in the last year, the decline in Celtic squad has been awful from their perspective. They had a very good team, which is now a very ordinary team. The real quality has been drained out of the side. Each successive transfer window sees a further decline. Their judgment of players is hit or miss. And recently, you know, the £10 million on Tonekti and the Balakwisha is, for me, a total embarrassment for the club.
At least Tonekti plays, though, and it's not beyond the realms of possibility he could get better. Right, Balakwisha can't even contribute to a match day squad at times, so that's a real issue.
But for the supporters, the general decline at Celtic is, from their perspective, awful to behold. And my contention is that Dermot Desmond has taken Celtic as far as he can. It just doesn't work now for Dermot Desmond or for the Celtic board. They don't even have a permanent chairman following Peter Lawwell's departure.
Wait, throw your hat in the ring.
I don't think I would get it.
Imagine that campaign we could start on his behalf. Yeah.
But I
with
honestly...
With that new moustache.
I could be beside Dermot with his moustache. But I think Dermot Desmond's gone as far as he can. Celtic are being left behind. And Rangers have overtaken them in terms of points in the league table. And Rangers are bringing in players three at a time. And if the money is eventually paid for Scott Olsen, they will have paid the best part of 17 million for those three players, and they're rejecting big offers for others like Gassama and Chimiti. Celtic are on the verge of being left behind by Rangers, and Hearts are recruiting players more often and with better accuracy than Celtic. They are a club who, without Martin O'Neill, would be in dire trouble right now.
The good thing is we do only now have 2 days to wait, so we'll know, Cammy. Celtic have brought in two, Rangers have brought in three. It's not like that's a million, but however, I take Hugh's point, some of them have been transfer fees and it's building to the future, but maybe Celtic can't do that because they don't have a permanent manager in place. So you can only really judge the business at the end. It's just more the, you can understand why Celtic fans don't have a huge belief right now that that changes in 2 days' time. There was one last night, but generally speaking.
Yeah, listen, the belief's not there because they've needed a striker for so long. And they've not managed to get them. Yes, they've brought a striker in on loan, I get that, but it's not the striker that the Celtic fans are looking for, and certainly wasn't the name that they were looking for. He might come and do a job, he might be successful between now and the end of the season. Listen, that's we'll all see what happens between now and then, but yeah, I think that the fans have lost faith in the board with regards to bringing in players that they want, and it's just... They keep leaving their soul. Dad said it before. They left their soul in a situation that they have now got 2 days of the window left. They're going to pay over the odds. They've done this with Adam Ida. They're going to pay over the odds because they've left their soul in a situation where they're desperate.
Barry, the previous caller, your fellow Celtic fan, said he was 30% confident that they would get good business done. How do you feel?
I don't think you all get any good business done. I'm actually surprised if they actually do any more business over the next coming days. But I reckon the board will come round and say, will come out with a statement and say, well, this squad's good enough to go through to the next round to play off the Europa League. That's what the excuse will be.
Well, we will see. Let's hear a bit from the Motherwell manager, Jens Bertil Askew. Covered obviously the fact that they beat Livingston 2-0 today and really strengthens their place in the league, continues their good defensive record as well. But if it's on everybody else's lips, it will be on his as well. Of course, was asked about Tawanda Maswanisi.
No, it's going to add value to him and to the team and the club, and we'll, yeah, probably make you guys a little bit more busy about writing about him going all sorts of places. But we have a game on Wednesday, and that's what we're going to prepare for. We have some business we're looking at to do, and it doesn't really involve him. So.
You've always said that he's not for sale. You don't want to sell him. Do you see that change?
No, I never said he wasn't for sale. But I said that we don't have a plan for selling him now, and that's the plan we're following. So eventually he is for sale. It's just not now, because he's still adding value to us. He's only been here for a short while, and I think he would love to be a top scorer of the league. I think you can see that out there, and the best opportunity to do that is staying with us until the summer, and then we'll see what happens there.
My interpretation of those words is that Jens has been assured that Maswanisi is not leaving Motherwell in this window. And he rightly underlined his position that he never said he was not for sale, but not now. And I think, having heard him say those words, I think Maswanisi will be a Motherwell player when they play their game on Wednesday night.
I'll tell you what, it's very hard to argue with him when he comes out with the comment at the end there. I was very interested in that and saying, look, he wants to be the top scorer in the league, and if he stays here, he's got a great chance of doing that. And where he would think, oh, if he goes to one of the big two, the chances he make But I think he's right. The way they're playing, the chances he fits into the model of the team, Gordon. He's absolutely brilliant. He's banging in goals. He's right. They've no plans in selling them. Of course they've not. But if a massive offer comes in, he's like everybody else. He's got his price.
Okay, Gary's a Rangers fan and he is coming up when we return.
The games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Gary has been hanging on the line patiently, so let's bring him in from Bathgate. Take it away, Gary.
Hi, Gordon.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Well, as Rangers have put in three bids for, let's say, player in Germany, the third division, right? Other bids have been knocked back. Why do they not just go to Motherwell and say, they're 7 million... and gives that
Marcelisi. This is the thing. This is where, because none of us know exact fees and what it would take, and we can all speculate, that right now is not like for like. We throw money at, you know, we're talking as if we're dealing in single pounds here rather than millions of pounds. The rough ballpark for Nadiri just now is 3 million. And Gary says, just go and spend seven. That's 7 million is a lot more than 3 million.
Well, Gary said they've made three bids for him. And nothing's up. Well, make a fourth, and I think that's what Rangers will do, because he appears to be Danny Rule's preferred option. And I don't know whether Danny Rule, what his opinion is of Masminisi, but he appears, the Hansa Rostock player appears to be the one that he wants, and I think Rangers over the next 48 hours will make the fourth bid, because he's the one that Danny Rule clearly wants.
Gary, going to ask Gary, sorry Gordon, quickly. Gary, can Rangers win the title without a new striker, or do they need one?
They need one. Tavernier's the top goal scorer.
Yeah, you've got Majorski in eight, but you scored three, obviously, against Anne in the cup, right? But
are we discounting goals against your Anne now?
No, but you've still got to score them. But you'd imagine a striker of Rangers, you should be scoring goals against Anne and Ibrox, no disrespect. But Chermiti's on some like four. The centre-half, Fernandez, is on more goals. A centre-half at five. So, yeah, it tells me that they need a goal scorer in there. What baffles me right now is this is an open race, and Rangers are very much in this race, right? Let's not be kidded. You go and get a guy. Now, you're talking about, you're bidding for foreign players, Germany, that come over here. They don't know the league. They don't know anything about it. They could hit the ground running and be brilliant, or they couldn't. You've got a guy in your own backyard that's banging in goals for fun, knows how to play in the league, knows how to play against every team in the league. So for the importance of this league from now to the end of the season, I think if you have to pay a little bit over odds, okay, I'm not with Gary here going for 3 million to 7, but if you have to pay a little bit over the odds, I think you limit your risk by going and picking up a guy that's scored, what, 18 goals so far. It's incredible.
100%. Again, if it's 5 million, they test the water with Motherwell with 5 million, put it the bid in there to see where they're at. This is a guy that's 23 year old. He's only going to get better. We're not buying a guy that's 28, 29 and is at his peak. Masminisi is going to get better. If he goes to Celtic or Rangers, he's going to improve. And again, what I spoke about before, when he goes to these clubs, the value of him, if he does well at the club, goes sky high. They can double that value quite easily. So I just think it's an absolute no-brainer for one of them to go and get him.
For one of them. It's been a while since we had a proper debate. But Kieran Bowie threatened at times, but never really. We've got both sets of fans in Glasgow after the same player in our league. And with that in mind, let's thank Gary and move to Andy, who's back on the other side. Andy, what do you think from a Celtic perspective?
Hi, God, the Dagler just about said everything I was just about
to say. No, you can do it better than him.
Thank you very much. I'll tell you my thought, right? Obviously, Tisdale left Celtic, haven't replaced that post, right? So therefore, there's a vacancy at the club in terms of technical director, whatever that post is called, right? So whatever happens to Celtic, they're going to sign players, and if the player doesn't work, the cries will be who signed them, who vetoed that, la la la. If you want to sign something that's tried and tested, what Gordon Dale just said there is that you pick the best, the top goal scorer in your league. I mean, There's been suggestions that he pay a wee bit over the odds, but so be it. That's Celtic have sold players over the odds over the years, and as Cammy just said there, if we can develop the boy even further, you get the money. But here's the thing for me, I just wish that we would, and I know that this isn't how clubs operate, but Scottish football in Europe is it's went really, it's as bad as it's been, put it that way. You look at the three teams finished in the league tables of the European football. If the money gets spent in Scotland, firstly it'll get reinvested, right? And the more it gets reinvested, it makes the league better. But that's no Celtic or Rangers or anybody else's thought. But here's a thought that I've got, right, see what the guys think of this. Celtic are strongly linked with a boy for Serie B, right, for £6.5 million. A Serie A team just came in and paid £6 million for Kieran Bowie. I mean, if this boy's worth £6.5 million and he's a decent enough right winger or striker, whatever he is, why would a Serie A team not be in for him?
Well, you would think, you know, if there was someone in the Championship here who was setting the place on fire, you would think that a Premiership club would be interested.
I'm still never sure if that's a way to, like, you know, stick to beat a player with. There's so many factors going to transfer and,
yeah,
you know, different markets, and I don't know.
I think
Celtic, you would be able to see that loads of times. Surely,
we all play amateur detective during the transfer window. I am suspicious of the player from Serie B. At that money, I do agree with Andy. I just think I'm not sure about that.
It's just I'm not saying they will do it, and I know the recent record's been ropey, but everybody's trying to find gems just at different levels. It's a bit like, you know, oh, why are Hearts signing a guy for the Slovakian league in Kayseridis? Why is nobody else looking at him? I mean, that's just the point. You're just hoping you get somebody that turns out to
values,
be good.
Values, though, again, I would say that it's a risk when you're paying £3.5 million. That's different from paying £500,000.
Oh, it's more than that. This guy's going to be seven.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so the values are completely different. I think when you're signing guys for £6-7 million, even down to £3 million, they've got to come in and impact. And again, that's why I go back to Motherwell striker Mas Munisi. He's doing it in this league. The risks are so low. That, again, that's going to fail. That's going to be, he's not going to get goals. I think if he goes to any Old Firm team, he's got to score goals. So I just think,
but do you know what adds to that for me, right?
What if Motherwell are more creative than either of them?
Right,
potentially,
There's two things to this, right? Mas Munisi might be looking to think, no, if I keep going the way I'm going, I'll get a move to England. People like to do that, right? But if it is a case of Celtic, the thing for me is quite simple. He scores goals as centre forward. If you bring a player in that can play wide and still give you the same performance, it's a brilliant bit of business. You look at Maeda, for instance, right? Last year when he won every single trophy going, Player of the Year in Scotland, scored all those goals, he started left winger, he went in, played centre forward. So it was brilliant for Celtic to have that. There's a guy in their doorstep can do the exact same
and
thing.
And at a time when Celtic want a right winger and a striker.
100%.
So
let me put another scenario to you. If Hearts win tonight at Dundee United, they'll go 9 points ahead of Celtic. Martin O'Neill said before the game at Tynecastle last weekend that if Hearts went 9 points ahead of Celtic, it'd be a long way back, which is manager speak for we're done. So the pressure on Celtic tomorrow, if Hearts win tonight, will be immense, because never mind the last day of the transfer window. If Celtic don't get all 3 points, if Hearts win tonight, Celtic don't get all 3 points tomorrow, league's finished.
Well, we're going to have a big couple of days ahead before we even get to the closing of the window, by the sounds of it. Big games to take place tonight and tomorrow. Flip that in its head. Maybe Dundee United do a number on Hearts, and maybe things are all back up in the mix tomorrow. Thank you to Andy on the line. One of the unsuccessful stories of today, clearly, is Aberdeen. Let's hear from interim manager Peter Leaven.
Yeah, it's been a couple of the season so far, isn't it? Inconsistency. I just thought they wanted it more than us, and that's really hard for me to say sitting here as interim manager of Aberdeen Football Club, but it's a tough one to swallow. The first, second balls were all over us, winning challenges, and just couldn't deal with it. But we said that during the week, I said, listen, we can't go there and play pretty football, but we won the battle first. You got to run, match their runs, match their intensity, then bring your football. But we seem to get it the other way around.
How is Big Max?
He's awake and he's in hospital, that's all I know just now.
Did you still land?
I think so, I'm not sure.
I mean, that's good in a sense. I don't know. Yeah. Is it, he's awake and he's in hospital. Hopefully everything continues to recover in the right direction. The first bit about, you know, it's always worry. See when people start on about, you know, lack of fight and stuff like that, it's always a worry, isn't it?
Now, he said beat it, man. And he's aware of the fact that the club are all over the place. The team's all over the place. If Mother will go there next Saturday night and remove the one vestige of positivity that Aberdeen have, in other words, they might as well go into the boardroom and take the Scottish Cup back down the road and hand it into the SFA. At that point, the roof comes off Pittodrie because they are in a bad, bad way.
I agree. I don't think they're in a good place at all. You could hear it in Peter Levine's voice there. I watched them, yeah, they had a good result against Livingston, right? But everybody's beaten Livingston just now. I'm a wee bit like you. I think they've lost their identity, their character, everything about. They've got fantastic support. They're a big, big club. They're a very good club. They pay big money. But at this moment in time, it just ain't happening for them.
Right, it's going to have to be a whistle-stop tour. You can take one each, Cammy. First of all is tonight, Dundee United against Hearts. I don't think the pitch will be in great nick, but it looks like it's going to be on. Sum that up for us and who you think will win to finish.
I'm going to go a draw in that game, actually.
Right.
I agree with Cammy. Draw.
Well, so title race definitely intensifies tomorrow then.
I was going to go a draw as well.
Wow.
So I'm not, because I've heard you too. So I'll go an away winner.
A man of no integrity whatsoever.
Well, I've heard you two, and you're hopeless.
You played for Hibs and Rangers. Rangers, Hibs don't have a decent record recently.
No.
But then back to that thing, are they due a result against them? The Derby performance was good. They were good at home against Motherwell. Not so good last week. But what do you see there?
Not so good against Dunfermline, not so good against Falkirk. Mm. So I'm going to say Rangers will go there and win.
Hibs have played Rangers 3 times this season with Kieran Bowie and not scored a single goal.
Maybe their new signings are dynamite though.
And maybe tomorrow will be Tuesday. Rangers to win away.
I agree, Rangers for me.
And Falkirk deserve everybody's confidence and everybody's praise. Just look at the way they're going about their business. John McGlynn, some of those players. They didn't really lay a glove on Celtic last time they went there, though. I don't know if that's a sign of anything.
No, I think that's too difficult. I think that, obviously, if Hearts go and win tonight, that added pressure that Celtic need to keep that gap to 6 rather than 9, a home advantage after a fantastic result on Thursday night and a great performance as well, got to say. Not be disappointed losing 2 goals, but I think they'll have too much for Falkirk.
Home win for me.
I think Celtic defensively are a worry. There's no Austin Trusty, so that's a worry for them. But I think up front they have Ian Acho coming back, they have Shvarenka, and I think they will win.
Well, what a time it's going to be in Scottish football over the coming days. You're not going to be able to take your eyes or your ears off it. Hearts tonight, as the guys have alluded to. The 2 big games tomorrow and then transfer deadline day on Monday. So thank you for joining us today. It was a pleasure to have you as always, whether that was just listening away quietly or you called or sent a message in. We appreciate it all the same. Back tomorrow, Andrew McLean is 4 until 7. Big day in the league. Final stretch towards deadline day, and then Monday is when we find out who's done good business, who hasn't, and what that means for the rest of the season. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. The GBX is up next.